And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take the poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. It's a real simple multiple-choice question. I ask you, who had a greater influence on U.S. history? Was it Martin Luther King or Cesar Chavez? Cast your vote up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. You'll be able to see the interim results immediately, and then I'll announce the overall results on tomorrow's show. You'll find the poll up on my website, Brainstormin, that's brain, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is working well with others. Each of my guests is describing how their subject matter requires working with others. My next guest is the definitive biographer of GOP presidential hopeful Mitt Romney. He'll give us a balanced overview of Romney's life and career from his book, Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Ronald B. Scott is a journalist and an author of the biography of Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney, titled Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. Ronald was born in Salt Lake City. He was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in New England. He studied journalism at the University of Utah while working as a reporter for both of the city's daily newspapers, the Salt Lake Tribune and also the Deseret News. He worked briefly for United Press International in 1970 before accepting a position with Time Incorporated in New York City, where he reported and wrote for its magazines Time, Sports Illustrated, and Life. He was also part of a small startup editorial team that founded People magazine back in 1974. In 2005, an article in the Sunstone magazine, Ron noted that Romney's flip-flops on issues like abortion, stem cell research, gun control, and gay rights. This article was widely quoted in other broadcast and print media during the 2008 primary election season. Ron lives in suburban Boston, Massachusetts, with his wife and three sons and two daughters. Joining us from Massachusetts. Hi, Ron. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being our guest. I really love that your book is so very timely as we're getting into the GOP candidates and running for the GOP nomination. What I liked about your biography of Mitt Romney is that it's really kind of a balanced view of the candidate. You were the first to break the flip-flops in his political platform. So how and why were these flip-flops such an important issue in the 2008 GOP campaign for the nomination, and how has Mitt been able to really neutralize them in the 2012 campaign?
Well, in some respects, the flip-flop word was a little bit of a misnomer. He subtly shifted positions on some things, and he adjusted his public policy approach to some issues while he maintained a personal commitment. For instance, on the abortion issue, he's always been pro-life. He was a little bit more liberal on allowing it, tolerating choice in the public space in 1993, 1994 than he was when he ran for president in 2008. So it's a flip-flop, but it's a very minor one.
Now, take stem cell research, though, which was obviously very important in the Boston area because of the corridor, the 128 corridor up there. Talk to us about his position change on stem cell research as well.
Boy, I wish I knew that the answer to that question clearly. I don't think he's been clear about that issue yet, and I think it's probably something we're going to see evolve during the course of the 2012 campaign. He seems to favor stem cell research up to a degree. He has acknowledged that life begins at conception. He hasn't defined yet what conception means. He hasn't created consistency yet between his position on abortion and stem cell research and how he feels about in vitro fertilization, which requires the disposal of unused embryos at about the same time that a morning after pill would destroy a fertilized egg in after intercourse. So there's that some tricky areas there that he has yet to define, and I think he probably won't fully have those defined until we get into the 2012 election season.
Well, now, 2012 is a radically different campaign that Mitt Romney is waging compared to 2008. Obviously, in 2008, John McCain won the nomination. This year, depending on what happens, right now, Mitt Romney is the front runner. How has he been able to put these flip-flops, or as you call them, the clarifications of his issues, sort of behind him and make that less of an issue with his other GOP candidates?
Well, I think the answer to the question is people have tried like crazy to not let him put those issues behind him, and have called him on it over and over again. I think the way he's done it is that he's just been so well organized and has lots of muscle in every single state in the country that he's been able to overcome it simply because he's so well organized and disciplined about the way he campaigns. He was not as disciplined in 2008. In fact, then and in back in 1994, the knock on Romney was he didn't have the stomach and the heart to go for the political kill when he had the opportunity. This time around, I think he's proved and been criticized for the fact that he's been a very relentless campaigner, one who wants to make sure when he's got you beaten that he really has you beaten.
Yeah, that is a definite trait that he has in 2012 he might not have had in 2008. My guest is Ronald Scott, author of the book Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. I'm going to change gears just a little bit if I can with you, Ron, because at the moment, Mitt Romney's under attack for being a successful businessman at Bain Capital. Now, personally, I don't believe any person should apologize for their success. I mean, you look at other presidents that we've had. John F. Kennedy didn't apologize for his wealth. Franklin D. Roosevelt didn't apologize for his wealth. Mitt, however, is being an apologist for his success. Most recently, he's come under attack for his speaking fees. Now, just to put this into perspective, he earns $41,000 for a single speech. And that's more than the average income in South Carolina, the state that he's currently campaigning in. And he seems to be very apologetic about this. He even seemed blindsided when this was first brought to his attention. But I want to put this into perspective because top speakers like Mitt Romney and others earn anywhere between $25,000 and $100,000 per speech, and that puts Mitt Romney in the lower middle part of the pack. So is Mitt Romney an apologist, and will his apologizing for past performance be a trait of his presidency if he's elected, based on what you know?
I haven't heard him apologizing. I heard him be fairly cavalier about saying, well, I think the total was like $300,000 last year on public public speaking fees. And he was cavalier at the way he attached a modest amount to $300,000 a year. But I haven't heard him apologizing for it. But you're absolutely right. The $40,000 per speech that he can't do it now, but he charged for giving speeches is quite low by his standards, and by the standard in comparison to other people of his stature in the country,
without a doubt. Now, the cavalier comment caught my wife and others off guard. When she heard the comment, she thought that was rather flippant, because that is a rather large sum of money. Even though it may not be large to some people, it certainly is large to the vast majority of Americans. Does that make Mitt Romney feel that he's out of touch with the American population, much the way George H.W. Bush, when he went to the grocery store and saw the grocery scanner for the first time, that made him seem very much out of touch with the American population?
Well, you know, the answer to the question, he's not out of touch with the American public, but he certainly comes off with comments like that would suggest that he is. And anybody who could think that $300,000 a year is a pittance is not thinking clearly. The $10,000 bet that he made with
Perry,
Governor Perry, is another example of that. Although that was hyperbole, in the sense that he was so certain of winning that bet that he would bet him $1 million or $2 million or $10 million. That was the hyperbole he was engaged in, and it quickly got used against him. But he says things like that where he doesn't stop to think about what are the implications going to be out there in America. But he's had, unlike everybody else on the campaign and on the Republican side, he has literally had hands-on experience dealing with people who are poor and struggling and really in dire straits. So does he have a feel for that kind of thing? The answer is yeah. It doesn't come through, though, in the way he handles himself on the campaign trail or in his political rhetoric.
My guest is Ronald Scott, author of the book Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. And Ron, tell us a little bit about Romney's heritage as a politician, because he comes from a line of former politicians, so it's sort of in his blood.
Yeah, well, the line begins with his dad, although his mom ran for the Senate in Michigan in 1972, I believe. But his dad was the, as one of his relatives put it, the Svengali of the family, and when he didn't achieve the presidency, he basically handed off the responsibility for seeking the presidency to his heir, and that was Mitt. It wasn't the oldest son, Scott. So it's a burden that Mitt's really carried around with him in some way, shape, or form since his dad ended his political career in 1972 or thereabouts, but it's really been something that was with him pretty early in his career. There are missionary companions that served with him in France who said that, gee, he was running for president even then.
Even
so he clearly had his eye on the prize pretty early in his life.
Without a doubt. And just to clarify for listeners who may not know or may be too young to remember, Mitt's father, George Romney, was the governor of Michigan, and he also served in the cabinet of Richard Nixon. I believe he was the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development during that time. Now, religion wasn't an issue for Mitt's father when he was the governor of Michigan, and it wasn't a big issue for Mitt when he was the governor of Massachusetts. So why is religion taking such a prominent place in the political rhetoric for the 2012 GOP nomination?
Well, it was in 2008 as well, and it was an issue in Massachusetts in 1994 when he ran against Senator Kennedy, although the Catholic Church here chastised Senator Kennedy for making religion an issue, reminded him of the heritage of his brother and all that stuff. So it went away fairly quickly. The reason why it's an issue in 2008 and currently in 2012 is because Mitt has to, before he can run for president against President Obama or against, in the general election, he has to win the nomination of the Republican Party. And in the Republican Party, you have to appeal to people in liberal northern states like Massachusetts and Michigan and Ohio. And you also have to appeal and win the votes in support of people who live in states that are quite a bit more conservative and more religiously driven, like Iowa and South Carolina and Georgia and so on and so forth. So you got to say things that appeal to both sets of people. And in the Deep South and in Iowa and places where evangelical Christians are abound, you find pockets of people who think that Mormonism is not Christian, and that's an important thing. And so he's had that as an issue to fight. Once he gets to the general election, I don't think religion will be a big issue. In fact, I think, from what I can tell, religion really has not become much of a major issue in the actual primaries this year, except it's been a good talking point. It's come up over and over again. But you will not hear him talking about it. It's always somebody else doing the talking.
Throwing the stones at him. My guest is Ronald Scott, author of the biography of Mitt Romney by the name Mitt Romney. So in what ways is the Mormon Church working to help promote Mitt Romney for president, Ron?
In no way that I can see. I think that the church itself has become more attuned to the world since 1994. So in that context, the serendipity between the church becoming more public and Mitt's rise as a politician has been a good thing for him. And you could argue the other way around, too, that Mitt's rise as a political figure in America, as well as John Huntsman's, have brought more visibility to the Mormon Church and encouraged it to clarify its positions on certain issues and be more public about what it's up to.
Well, how Mitt Romney stands on certain key issues, gay rights, abortion, etc., stem cell, we talked about earlier, they've run contrary to the teachings of the church, even when he was governor. So how's the church reconciled those two things?
Well, I think it's one of those things. If you don't listen carefully to this guy, you can miss what he really believes. He has always believed that all people should have equal rights, straights, gays, et cetera, et cetera. He has never been in favor of same-sex marriage, although he's been in favor of extending rights to form partnerships and so forth between gay couples for a long time. I don't think that's changed. In fact, I know it hasn't changed. So he stands firmly on the side of his church, which is opposed to gay marriage. But he has the position that, except for that, he believes that, that gay individuals ought to be able to do what everybody else can in this country.
All right. My guest is Ronald Scott, author of the book Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Ron, if I can here. Give us your prediction. Will Mitt Romney be the GOP candidate for the president in 2012?
Yes.
And if so, how's he going to fare against President Obama?
It will be one hell of an interesting race. I think it will be the best race of my lifetime, with the possible exception of the Kennedy-Nixon race in 1962. Certainly the two smartest men who ever run for president at the same time will be facing off against each other, people who are from the similar backgrounds educationally, similar kinds of experience, deeply intellectual people, smart, who know that, that the issues we face are not black and white, that they're filled with all kinds of gray resolutions that you have to compromise in order to rule well.
Well, that's keen analysis of the upcoming election. My guess is Ronald Scott. So, Ronald, Mitt Romney isn't the only book that you're working on. In fact, you've got a fiction book, too. Tell us a little bit about your new fiction book, Closing Circles, Trapped in the Everlasting Mormon Moment.
Well, the title was created 10 years ago. So that Mormon moment was emerging even before that, and it was a line that was used in the book when it was first written back in the late 80s, early 90s. And it ends with a tie-in to the current presidential election, which is the reason why it's being released when it's being released. But it's basically a story of a young man who struggles with his Mormonism and who comes to terms with it gradually and in strange ways. It's kind of a, as somebody put it, a rollicking tour through through Mormonism. The character is a journalist, so in some respects, the character draws from my autobiography, but not very much, loosely and exaggerated. But it's a pretty candid view. I think if you read the book, you get a pretty good feel of how Mormonism impacts young people in the church, in the same way that Chaim Potok made Judaism approachable, understandable to people who are not Jewish, and Philip Roth in the same.
Wow. Well, those are big shoes to fill.
Well, they're not big shoes. It's just an analogy. I don't write as well as either one of them.
Well, my guest has been Ronald Scott, author of the book Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. I would argue that that's not entirely true, Ron. You're being far too self-effacing on that. But I'm sure you've intrigued some of my listeners. They want to learn more about you, learn more about the book. Where would you direct them to go on the internet?
For Closing Circles, the fiction... It's Grey Dog Press in Spokane, Washington, is a publisher, and they're www.greydogpress.com. And for the Mitt Romney book, that's available at all the bookstores in America at the moment, and at Amazon, and my own personal website is ronaldbscott.net.
RonaldBScott.net. And the book is also available at Bank of Books, two locations here in Ventura to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Ron, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Take care.